Hey everybody, it's Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I want to welcome you this morning to our midweek video. As always, we appreciate you tuning in and are thrilled to have you be a part of our channel and this video. I want to welcome you to our YouTube channel here, Grace Life Bible on YouTube. If you haven't already done so, if you would consider subscribing and ringing the alarm bell so that you can stay current with the ministry here. We go live from the assembly building on Sunday morning, and when we create content midweek, we would certainly appreciate you doing that. Messed around with the lighting a little bit last time and got some feedback on that. So I'm back to the overhead lighting. Hopefully it's a little bit better for you, those of you that didn't like what I did last time. So want to remind you about our featured book. Easter is just a few days away, but the featured book from now till Easter is Don't Passover Easter, A New Defense of Easter in Acts 12:4. And again, this book is about the reading, the King James reading about Easter in Acts 12:4. I believe the reading is correct. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but I do think it needs to be understood properly in the context and as far as what the word Easter has historically meant in English. So if you are interested in that, I would encourage you to pick up a copy of Don't Passover Easter. And I will also probably in the description for this video put a couple links to some video teaching and some things that I've actually taught in the assembly building on that issue there about Easter in Acts 12:4. So check that out if you're interested. Want to remind you about our Rumble channel here, Grace Life Bible Church on Rumble. We established this last year in 2001 as an alt-text site for YouTube should something happen to our YouTube ministry. And I'm pleased to report that we are up over 200 subscribers here. So if you haven't subscribed here as a backup to YouTube and you're interested in alt-text sites, please consider checking us out here on Rumble. The content is essentially the same. We have far more things on YouTube than we do on Rumble. We're relatively new to Rumble, but we do want to have this here as a backup should something happen to us on YouTube. Last week, I did a video responding to Truth Time Radio's blog, What Happens When You Put a History Teacher Above God's Word. Just want to remind you about that video. Truth Time Radio responded in a blog on the 8th of April, titled The History Teacher Barks Back, and we have pinned a couple things in the comments about that video if you're interested in following that. The purpose of this video is to announce the publication of my new book. This just came out last week. I recorded last week before I received this information and this word, so it was not included in last week's video, but I just want to do a video announcing the publication of my book, From This Generation Forever, A Study of God's Promise to Preserve His Word. This is Volume 1, Inspiration. Sunday at church, I just taught lesson 175, and lesson 175 in this class was about the primary source King James Work in Progress document known as Bode or Bod 1602, which is a 1602 Bishop's Bible with the handwritten notations of the translators in the margin as they are conforming the Bishop's Bible according to Rule 1 given to the translators into what would ultimately become the King James. So this book is the published notes of the first 27 lessons in my From This Generation Forever class. So we're on lesson 175. This has 27 lessons in it. All of the lessons on inspiration have been gathered together here into volume one. This book is 340 pages. And it is the published notes of the first 27 lessons. So we're really excited about this. Originally, I wanted to be able to take all these classes and sort of write out narrative chapters and not just publish them as far as like bulleted notes. But as time has gone on, I've realized that I don't know when and if I'm ever going to have time for that. As far as, you know, just time in life. For those of you who don't know, in addition to pastoring Grace Life Bible Church, I'm also a full-time teacher at a high school. I teach world history and philosophy. So I'm a husband, a father, to two boys. I just have a lot of things going on, ministry-wise, life-wise, work-wise, etc. And to think that I would ever have a chance to flip these into narrative chapters, I just wasn't confident that that would happen. And I wanted to still get the information out to the body of Christ into a methodology or in a format, I should say, that people could use. And so what we decided to do is just publish these notes as is. Now, we can look at some samples here. I do want to talk about what the book covers. So I'm going to click on this, and then this is going to load some sample material from the interior of the book. So here you can see the title page. This is copyrighted by Trust House Publishers and published by Trust House Publishers. This is the self-publishing arm of Dispensational Publishing House. Dispensational Publishing House has two arms to it. It has sort of their, and that, Dispensational Publishing House published the book on Easter. And then I used Trust House, the self-publishing arm, to do the notes here on From This Generation Forever. So this is all finally copyrighted and put into the public space. And the first 27 lessons were taught between September 13, 2015 and April 17, 2016 at Grace Life Bible Church. So the book are the lightly edited and revised notes. Now we have a process week to week that we're using at the church. I turn the notes into one of the ladies, a former editor at the church, who proofreads them before Sunday. And if you follow the lessons live or have watched any of the recordings, you know that then as we go through the notes, we're sort of working them over, looking for any errors or mistakes or things that need to be corrected. And then they're being noted, and then we try to correct them in the published notes online during a given week. So let's look here at the table of contents. I just want to go through this quick. I want to show you a sample lesson of what it looks like so that you can get some sense about what is in this book. So lessons 1 through 27 on inspiration are in the book. And you can see that we started just talking about, you know, Satan's attack on the Word of God. We look at things like the original's only position, a position of no practical consequence, overcoming the problem of verbatim identicality. And then the first few lessons are really just sort of about understanding basic terminology about the scriptures. Words like revelation, inspiration, preservation, illumination, in just sort of a general sense. And I want to say that the lessons sort of, especially in the first 10, sort of are real-time lessons. When I was teaching these lessons, there were some saints in the assembly that were pushing back on me on some of these things. And so I had to sort of, you know, respond to them. I tried to do it in a gracious manner, you know, et cetera. But you'll see that when you look at the lessons, that when I was teaching these things, they were not being taught wholly unopposed by some of the folks in the church who maybe thought differently about some of these things. So you'll kind of see that in real time when you look at some of the notes in some of the lessons. And it took us a little bit longer to sort of get out of the gate initially than I had anticipated. But that's fine because, you know, the notes need to reflect what was actually happening. There's nothing here to try to sanitize it. There's a few things that I taught that I touched on maybe before I really wanted to, as far as the sequence of when I wanted to include material in the sequencing of the lessons. But all of it is there, including the appendix that I wrote on after lesson 10 on the issue of Mark 1:2 and whether or not it's the correct reading in the King James. There's an appendix on that on page 117. And then by lesson 11, we're really into inspiration, and that is what the majority of the book is about. So we talk about different theories of inspiration. We talk about how plenary verbal inspiration is the correct view. We talk about potential pitfalls of that view. We talk about passages proving the plenary position on inspiration. And then there's this four lesson sequence here that I think is absolutely important for people to think through. And that is the issue of divine dictation in inspiration. Now, I have a shelves full of theology books behind me that mock and ridicule the idea of divine dictation. And what we really did in lessons 14 through 17 is dig into, is that appropriate? Is it appropriate? Is divine dictation an appropriate descriptor to describe how inspiration occurred? And I lay out an argument here based upon history and based upon scriptural usage that I don't think there's anything wrong with using dictation as a descriptor for how inspiration occurred. And we also talk about how that really was the view before about the middle half of the 19th century when things started regarding the Bible really started to be questioned. So I address all those issues in these four lessons here, lessons 14 through 17 on the issue of divine dictation. So for that reason alone, I think the book is worth picking up if you want to sort of pick up on that discussion. Then we talk about God's design and inspiration. God's design and inspiration was to make the living and the written word equal to each other. And we make the argument that therefore the Bible is not like any other book and it should not be approached the same as any other book. So a faith position for why we should approach the Bible different from any other book of antiquity. God's design and inspiration. Then we talk about the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. We talk about his attitude toward the written word in lesson 19. And then we talk also in lesson 20 about the New Testament writers' attitude towards what they're writing. They're in the process under inspiration of penning what would ultimately be the 27 books of the New Testament. What is their attitude towards the Word of God, both the Old Testament and what they're in the process of writing under inspiration? We look at that in lesson 20. And then we also, in lessons 21 and 22, we talk about undesigned coincidences. I find undesigned coincidences to be absolutely fascinating, internal proof for the fact that the Bible is a divine book inspired by God Almighty. Undesigned coincidences are things that occur in the Bible that are only explainable by the idea of the Bible having a divine author. They are not things that would speak to plain old ordinary human authorship. If you're not familiar with arguments for inspiration based upon undesigned coincidences, you're definitely going to want to check out lessons 21 and 22. Then we look at, maybe some more standard types of things that some people might be familiar with. We talk about, fulfilled prophecy as internal proof of inspiration. And then we also talk about the historicity of the Old Testament, the history of the New Testament, and then just some general things about transmission that all speak to the idea that the Bible was in fact inspired. So we look at internal evidence for inspiration as well as external evidence for inspiration. And then we conclude by making some disclaimers regarding the limitations of inspiration. So this is a pretty thorough treatment here of inspiration. If you're interested in picking it up, I would definitely encourage you to do so. I'm really excited about this. And so the plan moving forward then is now that we have a sort of a format. Oh, I need to show you a chapter. I forgot about that. Sorry. Let me reload this and we can look at sort of the format of what these chapters look like. So here's lesson one. There's a sample here. And you can see that they follow the format and they take the format of bulleted points. And, you can read these points and it doesn't read, it reads very much like a book. The issue in why we decided to keep it was just formatting, editing, spending a whole bunch more time, cost issues. I don't think there's anything in the format here that is going to detract from the information that you're going to get if you pick this book up. And so here is what a sample lesson looks like. There's a ton of information here. You're definitely going to, I think, get a lot out of this. And then we also use proper citations. So any of the sources that I used are always noted at the end in a works cited page, especially if I'm quoting. In this lesson one, I'm just sort of listing out what I'm going to be using and just some other sort of brief things. But then we get into it and we get into the bulk of the lessons with lesson two. So here you can kind of see a sample of the format that the book takes. And again, moving forward, now that we have sort of a format, we have some cover art, etc., we're going to be moving other information into this format. So hopefully by the end of the summer, volume two will be available. And volume two will be about just the issue and the doctrine of preservation. Volume three will be about canonicity and transmission. Volume 4 will be about the history of the English Bible pre-King James. So starting with Wycliffe's, actually starting with the Anglo-Saxon Bible, going all the way through to the Reims New Testament, and just before the advent of the King James, that will be Volume 4. Volume 5 is going to be what we're talking about now, which will just be about like the process and the history of the actual translation of the King James Bible. And then I don't even know where we're going to get into after that. I just have a lot of plans about what I want to include ultimately in this. So there definitely are going to be future volumes in this series. Preservation will be Volume 2, Canonicity Volume 3, and then we're going to go on from there. But I'm excited about this information. I'm excited to be able to offer the book. I'm excited for you to buy it and read it and check out the information. And follow with us also. You can follow this class every Sunday morning as it's taught live from Grace Life Bible Church at 9 a.m. in the adult Sunday school hour as we are continuing to add to this weekly. We're coming up here at the end of the month of May. We're going to take a break for the summer like we customarily do. And then that will allow me to read ahead and study ahead for the next sort of term. So check this class out from This Generation Forever if you haven't already done so. I also want to remind you about our playlist here, the Grace History Project. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday mornings at 9 a.m., we are rebroadcasting on this channel the Grace History Project. And every lesson has the PDF notes, audio if it's available, PowerPoint if it's available, linked in the description for the video. So you're definitely going to want to check those out if you haven't already done so. We are right up to, by tomorrow morning, we'll be at lesson 70, I believe, which is right at the point of the year 1900. And we've looked at the abandonment and resurgence of Pauline truth up to the year 1900 through the first 70 lessons. So if you're into history at all, if you want to know about the history of dispensationalism, check out this playlist, The Grace History Project. Also want to remind you about our podcast that my wife and I have, the Just Grace It podcast with Brian and Becky Ross. I know we haven't had a time really to record anything here of late. We're trying to remedy that and rectify it. Life has just been somewhat nuts. Join us in 2022 at Grace Life Bible Church for the Bible Reading Challenge. We're reading through Paul's epistles every month, and there's a link here to two videos explaining the challenge. We've got three different reading plans. And then we have some links here to King James Reader's Bibles if you're interested in picking one of those up. And then the last thing I want to remind you about is our live stream. We go live from the church every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:40 Eastern Time, and you can pick us up live here on YouTube, on Facebook, or right here, new in 2022, on the church's webpage. So I want to remind you before you go about our featured books, the book Don't Pass Over Easter, and also what this video has been about, the From This Generation Forever book. If you've enjoyed this video, please like it, share it, leave a comment, help get the word out about this channel. We appreciate any help that you can give us in that regard. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, this is the most important decision that you ever make in your whole life. If you've never acknowledged that your sin has left you short of the glory of God, you cannot earn your own salvation. You cannot do enough good works, law-keeping, performance-oriented activities to make God happy with you. Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place. He shed his blood. He was buried, and he rose again the third day as the only total complete payment for your sin. Won't you trust Jesus Christ today? Won't you believe in his death, burial, and resurrection as the only payment for your sin today before it's everlasting too late? You'll receive the free gift of eternal life. You'll pass from death to life. You'll be taken out from under the kingdom of darkness and placed and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Trust Christ today before it's everlasting too late. Thanks for your attention.